I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Alrighty, Shelter Footycast live from Backchat Studios. We're a little late kicking off. Nice of you to rock up, Skeeter. Tell you what, mate. Hey? Let's try to get things done on time in here.
Let's just put this on the record. I arrived at the appropriate time, and it looked like a couple of blokes trying to fix some power lines at a Balinese intersection. These two blokes, they had no idea what was going on, and they weren't going to ask me because I'm even 2 miles ahead behind those blokes. So, but seriously, it took about dumb and dumb, and I thought, I'll vacate until they've got it sorted. And now you have.
What about an analogy? Tell you what, that's very good. A couple of Neanderthals trying to like get into the computer, right? It's like Zoolander, like smacking on the computer. We're here, Skeet. So again, thanks for coming, mate. It's so bad. We said, Skeet, go back to work, and I text Skeet and we're all fixed.
Yeah, I'm right to work.
Skeet's just been dropping around Perth.
Just like an Uber driver.
Very good. You'd be good Uber.
I'd be fantastic. I just have to start the gas.
Shelter Footycast on socials. Follow us over there. Footycast at backchatstudios.com.au if you want to send us an email. Love to hear some of your thoughts and feelings. We've got some of them at the back of the show, Skeeter. And Skeet, big news. We've been giving away the West Coast tickets on the plane with the players, tickets to the game, Western Bulldogs this weekend. Darwin, congratulations, big fella. He got the tickets this week.
Who's
to that? Darwin.
Darwin. D-A-R-V-I-N.
Darwin.
I didn't.
Congratulations, Darwin.
I couldn't understand your pronunciation. But
well, Skeeter, we're looking after the Dockers fans too.
Yeah.
We've been able to acquire, thank you very much, to Medico Legal. If you got some legal issues, I'd go and see them. 2 tickets to the Freo Dockers game tomorrow night. Friday night footy against Adelaide.
Yeah, it's 4:20, I think it is. So it's
Friday
twilight.
Afternoon.
Yeah, footy. No, it's good. And good. A big game.
Hottest ticket in town. Given Freo 2-0, get a chance to go 3-0 at home. Sizzling, Luke Jackson, everyone. So if you're a Dockers fan, we're going to give a code word in the show, like we did with the Tassie giveaway. Listen for the code word. Backchatstudios.com.au. Enter the code word, your email address, for your chance to go into the running for the 2 tickets. Skeeter, you're going to come up with a code word. Okay?
Oh, terrific.
It's Will Schofield, Mark Redding, Shelter Footycast. Oh, dear. Hello, Nicholas. Good morning. Now, let's get into this one, Skeeter. The big issues come before we get into our tips and previewing the games of the weekend. Illicit drugs policy in the AFL. There's been plenty floating around. Have you had to cover this much across some of your avenues, 6PR?
Yep. Have spoken about it at reasonable length. And when it comes to the punters, I mean, the level of interest, I think there's a level of shock at more so even the last 24 hours, a News Corp reporting that, look, 100 players or thereabouts have been given sort of a license to go and get tested privately and behind the scenes, away from prying eyes. And
yes,
there's a lot of elements to this.
Do you want to ask me some questions?
Oh,
because I've been in the system for 14, 15 years. I haven't been in there for 2 or 3 years, but I know a lot of how this works.
But what I would say is that, look, to me, some of what has been reported is not new in terms of what I'm reading. Some of it, I must admit, where they're talking about players faking injuries because of that, I think is to the core of what has upset some people. So when it comes to your situation, you've been out of the game for a while now, but the regulations, the protocols haven't changed, I don't think, significantly at all.
Pretty much since 2005. So the faking of injuries, can we address that one first?
Yeah.
That has to be a significant minority of players. And I'm talking, I've never once heard of that. I've never seen it at West Coast. That's my only club.
Yep.
But you hear about other clubs and things happening. I've never heard of that once. I've never seen it happen. So if that's happened at a club, it must have been once in a year. One time it happened and old mates, whoever is out there producing that's just such a significant minority that I think that's one thing that's really triggered people.
Mm.
But people see that and think that, you know, every week the club doctors are sitting down with half the playing squad. Like, who's done drugs this week? That's not what happens.
And the issue is, just quickly, is even this week we're seeing players being managed, players going for scans. And it's opened a lot of suspicion on players, most of whom, 99% of whom, I'm guessing.
Higher than 99%, yeah. Right? So on that thing, so it's a huge minority. It may happen once a year, may have happened once in 5 years. So that's that. But to talk about that situation, right? And I don't know where you sit on this, but this is where I do. If this has happened, to be worried about illicit substances being in your system on game day, it means that you have to have done something within 48 hours of you playing.
During the week?
So no, not during the week. We're talking on Thursday or Friday.
So it's essentially, you've done something not on a weekend.
Correct. Yeah. So if you're playing on a Saturday and you're worried about illicit substances in your system,
you've got an issue.
You have a huge drug issue. You have addiction problems. You have mental issues. To think that you're above whatever, not only societal beliefs, but your teammates. That's why it doesn't happen. I'm telling you right now. And I would know a thing or two about, inverted commas, drug culture. Got to the footy club, West Coast, 2006. And that's externally been reported as drug culture. Even then, that wasn't happening then. So to go out and talk about that sort of stuff. But if it does happen, right? If that happened and a player went to a club doctor and said, Thursday night, did drugs. As the club doctor, what is the alternative for the club doctor who's trying to protect that player? What's the alternative? What would you like, you or anyone who's blowing up about this? What should they do? Because in my mind, a player goes to a club doctor, a doctor, and says, I've got an issue. This has happened. The consequences are, if ASADA rocks up under the World Anti-Doping Code, they test me. Not only am I done for 3-4 years, Joel Smith, but likely my livelihood's done. Likely everything I exist for is in the bin. So as the club doctor, do you go, okay, bad luck, you've done drugs, you're a bad boy, go out and play and risk everything? Or do they do what they've apparently done? I would say the latter.
Of course.
Pulling them out is a protective thing for players. I don't see the outrage.
I understand doctor-patient confidentiality.
No, not about that. You're looking after your... it's not about confidentiality. It's about... So what's the alternative? Give me an alternative in that situation.
The question is, and this is what's been thrown up, is it a case of, if someone has an issue, they can go to Dr. Schofield at a club, for instance, argument's sake, once a month on a
Yeah, but that's not happening.
I know it's not happening.
That people think it is, but that's not what goes on. No, so no. Specific instance, if you think you have illicit substances on game day, it means Thursday or Friday, you're getting on the bags, right? If that's happened, what's the alternative? Give me an alternative. I don't think there is one. So all this outrage about players, you know, abusing the code and abusing their privilege of being paid lots of money.
Are they being protected? Are they being protected, though, by this, not loophole, by this doctor privilege that you talk about? Are they being protected above and beyond what they should under the voluntary drug testing regime? Let's make this clear, voluntary. I don't think the NRL has a voluntary.
Yep.
And it's obviously sport integrity is after not anything else outside of competition. They're after on competition game day. So
yep.
that's the sticking point, obviously, for some of this. Do we have to rewrite the laws for drug testing in the AFL? Do we have to have a reset? Do we have to get clubs, a la presidents, CEOs, to be more aware of the issues that are facing some very few players who have an issue? Do we have to reshape how clubs are involved? I know Jeff Kennett, Eddie McGuire, more than keen to have, if player Schofield has had a strike or he's got some issues on this front, the only person, to my knowledge, that knows at the club is the doctor. Should the CEO or someone in a really high-ranking position be able to provide assistance?
Yes. And I think they're two different issues, just so we know. What you're asking now is not what everyone's outraged about.
No, I know. Yeah.
Faking injuries. And they're very separate issues. Do players in the AFL do drugs? Yes. Well, it's almost guaranteed. We know that. We've seen reports come out, right? Do drugs exist in society?
No, but go back to the footballers.
Yeah, I'm coming back, right? Yes, right? And so do you expect to create a situation in the AFL where it is a drug-free, no-tolerance issue?
Well, that's a question. Let me join the analogy that's been made. If given the AFL and, say, a mine worker or a worker that has to test negative to alcohol or drugs, it's essentially saying to that worker, you can't have any drugs in your system, otherwise you're sacked, or something quite serious.
Yes.
So why does the AFL not fall on... This is the question people are asking. Why doesn't the AFL have the same parameters for their employees?
Probably the public nature of it, I would say.
Hmm.
Person on the mines, fly in, fly out worker, rocks up to work, has illicit substances in his system, see you later. No one knows about it, probably not even his family. So I know that this is a really commonly used example.
Yeah.
If it's an AFL player,
I don't reckon
you're getting off the back page for 2 weeks. Everyone in your life knows this. You lose your job, just like the mining worker, but I think it's the public nature. That's what I would say.
And the counter argument is that if you're in the AFL and you're earning really good money. So, correct.
So that's why it's a different issue. The drug policy needs updating.
Yeah, that's the core of it.
And CEOs, as you asked me, they should know. If you're an employer, you need to know if your employees are doing drugs.
That wasn't what this issue is about. I mean, let's go back very briefly to the core of it.
There's a lot of blurring going on. Glenn Bartlett's issues
with the Melbourne Football Club, which have gone legal. A Melbourne doctor who was moved on as part of this concern by Glenn Bartlett. He has essentially become the whistleblower. Andrew Wilkie through Parliament has tabled information that's come to hand. So,
the outrage around the drug taking in AFL players, I just can't see how that's not widespread through every sport in the land.
Caitlin Bassett
from Playboy,
she's had a fair dip. And now, I don't know.
Has she played under illicit drug testing policies her career? I don't think she has.
I'm about to ask this. I'm pretty sure, and I stand corrected here, that I'm not sure the Super Netball competition.
So you
has,
are absolutely
has a,
kidding yourself if you think there aren't netballers doing drugs. You're kidding yourself. So what are we doing here? Like, if it's a zero tolerance, don't do drugs, you paid lots of money, you're a professional athlete, I don't think that stands up. I don't think it stands up because it's not reality.
Can I ask you why, though?
Because everyone loves to be out.
No, don't ask you. No, let me ask you this. Can I ask you why? So at the moment, if I get caught, and maybe if you as well, I'm assuming, if we get caught for, say, DD or using drugs, whether it's 6PR, Penny Channel 7, Fox, you name it, what do you think our punishment would be? If we get done for drink driving,
sacked.
Well, yeah, it's a likely position. So in my case, I go, well, we've had a few. Let's get an Uber.
Yes.
Footballers now, is this because they are younger? Because most of them in their early 20s, and probably we're all a bit stupid back in the day. Well, not that stupid. We weren't as worldly as what we are now. That they haven't got that mindset of whether it's a Joel Smith, for instance, or any other player that we can rattle off in the past 5 years. Did they think they weren't going to get caught? Did they think filming this is not going to cause an issue?
Yeah, probably, because it's like any error of judgment you ever make, any mistake you ever make. 100%. It's not like I don't think there's really any malicious people. Like, there's very few malicious people that exist. So when this happens, it's not like they're trying to disrespect their teammates or their fans or the position they're in. But shit happens, right?
And I get it.
So the realistic nature is like things are going to happen. So what does the policy need to be? Is it a complete punishable one where you
one strike, you're gone? I mean, that sounds really tough. But let's go back again to what I say. The AFL Players Association, you would have been part of it, they volunteered to try and put something in place. Two fronts. A, to help, assist, educate players that are venturing or addicted to drugs, again, very small margin of players that are addicted, but some that experiment, which is probably very regular.
Yeah, I would find it, given the drug testing that I was under as a footballer, I would find it very hard to believe there'd be any sort of majority of players using drugs regularly. It seems nonsensical. It was randomised. You would rock up at the footy club, and if you had drugs in your system, you'd get done. So... Mm. to have people saying, well, you know, the entire AFL system, all the players are doing drugs, it's all completely cool. I don't think that's right.
But that being said, you just said that it'd be nonsensical to think that drugs aren't used by AFL players.
Because people do drugs. It exists in society. You're under a rock if you don't think that.
But primarily, I would have thought, given it out of competition, and this is me just because I'm the most naive bloke when it comes to drugs, from about October through to whenever, that's when players more than likely...
It's hair testing. And I think that works. As far as I know, it does. So, you know, it's not like players are running around doing whatever they like. And I think the large majority play by the rules. So in life, there's always going to be people doing the wrong thing.
And this goes back to... You talk about the West Coast Eagles. There was another club, AFL club, mentioned a Victorian-based club that there were legal ramifications if they were named publicly. Obviously, current Victorian-based club has been, with what's happened with Joel Smith, has been the centre of a lot of speculation, allegations, it has to be said, that whether they're unfounded, whether they're true or not, they're there. And
to finish on it, Skeeter,
yep,
because otherwise we can go about this all day. I think there's a big blurring of the lines in the issue we're actually talking about here. There's outrage on the faking injuries to get out of games, which I understand, but I just don't think that happens very, very. And then there's the drug policy, and there's drug taking by players, whether there's a list of guys that are, I don't know, allowed to do that. Again, it's not something I've heard of. But if all of that's happening, you can understand the chat about the drug policy and it needs updating. But I would just say, my final opinion would be, what's the alternative? You know, is the alternative not, you know, no tolerance.
I think it still change.
Because that's what it is in mining. That's what it is in mining.
I think it's been can be manipulated. Not saying it is regularly, but can be manipulated. So don't just throw the baby out with the bathwater with regards. I think there's a lot of good elements of the policy, I think, in place. Mm. And as an ex-player, I assume you agree that there's some benefits, strong benefits. Maybe there are some issues with it as well. That's, you know, to be expected. Maybe sit down. And in fact, today, Andrew Dillon is getting the clubs together, all 18, to discuss this issue. And I'm sure suggestions will come up. I'm sure ideas will come up. And you know what? If what's happened in the past 72 hours is a catalyst for that, then maybe it's good for the code that they're going to improve the system that's in place. It's far from fallible, but it's also a lot better than some of the other sports that strut around pretending there's no issues in their
domain. I found that outrageous from Caitlin Bassett, to be frank. So anyway, let's move on. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings. Shelter Footycast. Thank you very much, Nicholas. That's two in a row, big fella. Now, Elijah Hewitt had foot surgery.
In Melbourne, yeah.
Which we knew this. He's gone. Do we know this?
Yeah.
We knew this, right?
Well, yeah, yes. It's fractured foot. Now, this seems really... Now, again, my medical expertise, not flash guy, but correct. How, after all the pain he's been in the last couple of years, I think he played 14 games last year in a lot of pain. Nick's having another coughing fit. Welcome back to Nick. The issue of a fractured foot, how that hasn't been picked up by any one of the medicos who tested it, and obviously there's so many bones in your foot, but yeah, he's got to a point now he needs surgery. He's going to miss the bulk of this year.
I don't know what's going on there, whether or not that was messaging or factual kind of what's going on there. Oh, well, like, I don't think it's got worse. They've known about this for a long time. We've lost Nick into a coffin.
What is going on?
I don't know.
Is this issue with this place with asbestos or something we have to be worried about?
I'm fine. Well, we'll find out. Well, okay, yeah. Look, Elijah Hewitt, up-and-coming star. I think they'd rather do this if he misses his second year.
Second year
on the list. If he misses that and then plays 10 years without missing, that's what they want here.
Yeah.
They don't want to manage him through the first 5 years, of his career. So I can't say it's a positive thing for the West Coast Eagles, Skeeter. The Waffle is back this week, Skeeter. If we can just have a little look at that. I mean, Thursday night footy for the Waffle.
Tonight begins. Penthouse Stadium. Claremont going up to take on West Perth. Should be a beauty. Hopefully a good crowd. Weather's fantastic. So you're good to have the Waffle back. Had the season launch on Tuesday. East Fremantle trying to win back-to-back flags, I think, since the 1940s. First time to do that.
Do you think that could happen? I wouldn't mind a little bit of a premier tip from Mark the voice of the waffle.
I would have thought East Fremantle would be, although, let's be honest, they start one game behind, 4 points behind the rest of the team.
That's after, in this year, is it?
Yeah. Right. So South the year before had two matches. This time it's East Fremantle with one match. Player-wise, they lose Hugh Dixon, but they get Bryn Teagle back into the mix. Got a pretty good midfield. Blaine Bokhurst might return to play some good footy after that knee. Mm. A Sandover medalist. So there's a bit to like about East Fremantle. There'll be challenges. I mean, Peel, depending on their player availability, it's always a question mark. I think Subiaco will be a sound new captain there. Greg Clark comes back into the mix for them. South Fremantle, they missed the finals last year, which is absolutely rare for them. So I expect improvement from them. West Perth, new coach, Jason Salicic. In fact, I think that West Perth, having had their premiership hangover, will be playing finals again this year. We're expecting East Perth to be thereabouts.
Who'd you pick? Premier.
This stage, I'll go East Fremantle for the pure sake of that, no exposed form. They were the best team by margin last year. Jono Marsh didn't play in the GF. Yes. And so off the back of that, and some waffle news on our mate Hammer, who won't be playing in round one against South Fremantle. Concussion.
Yep.
Ball kicked into his face, into his head during a pre-season match. And obviously, given the what's happened with his family recently, he is now subject to the 21-day protocol in the waffle. So that's a bit of a freak accident, but the Sandover medalist sideline to start off the year.
There was actually a bit of to and fro with the 14-day into 21-day mandate around that. So I think he's pretty happy to make sure his head's fully right. And I think I don't know if I want to get into this, Skeeter, but I'm going to quickly mention it. I don't understand why the AFL is not the same as every other league in the country now, which is 21 days outside the top league in the country. I haven't been given evidence or a reason why the AFL isn't like that.
The reason they're giving is because the AFL and AFLW has better medical facilities to cater for concussion. I think that is a massive stretch.
Let me counter this. There's no facilities, no service, no looking after that would make a hamstring come back any quicker than 21 days. You can't do it. That's why all this bullshit you see. Who's done his hammy? Horn Francis. I saw it in the paper yesterday. Oh, Horn Francis out another week.
No shit. Chance.
He did his hamstring. Patrick Dangerfield. We'll see him in 3 weeks. The head, suddenly having a more services available to you, it's going to heal quicker I don't think that's correct. So we should be at 21 days.
This time next year, I'm just saying, I agree. And you know what? Initially, the AFL didn't want the waffle, the sandful, the VFL, to go down this path, 21 days. And the WA Footy Commission, Troy Kirkham, was leading the way with junior and community sports. So that, I think, it might take the end of this year, but I think you're right. And it has to be 21 days above and beyond for everyone.
Premier East Perth, Sandover, back-to-back, Hamish Brayshaw, even after missing round one. Tell you what, it's going to be great to watch. Will Schofield, Mark Redding, Shelter Footycast. Back from the dead, Nicholas. Here we go. Friday night footy, Fremantle, Adelaide. If you want your chance to win two tickets to this game, Skeeter, the code word is...
The code word is for...
Wait, what did you call us? The couple of Barney's electricians?
Yeah, yeah.
Something to do with that?
Yeah, I was just trying to think of something along those
Sparky?
Lines. Sparky? Yeah, let's go with Sparky.
S-P-A-R-K-Y is the code word. Couple of Barney's electricians fixing the junction at between Cooter and Seminyak.
And doing a Scheisenhausen job.
Sparky is the code word. Backchatstudios.com.au. Enter your email address. Code word Sparky for your chance to go into the running for two tickets to this game right here. Fremantle v Adelaide, Optus Oval, 4:30 p.m., which is a strange one, but we're going to get it done. Don't worry about that, Skeeter. Nat Fyfe, good to go in this one, Skeet.
Yeah, I think he's just given a breather as a sub last week.
Which is good. I think that's good management.
Yeah, exactly. I think what means it probably precipitates the fact that Jager O'Meara might end up... I think he might play for Peel this week. Right. He's either going to play a full game...
Was he the sub? He was the sub.
Yeah, so I got a feeling he might go back and play with Peel.
Your boy might be a chance to be sub here.
Cooper Simpson. Cooper Simpson, absolutely. Well, he's ready to go, and it's a luxury to be able to... This is the difference between the Eagles and Dockers. They can hopefully
they
this stage.
Selection pressure.
Yeah, just let him play some footy. Maybe yes. If it's for Peel this week. Although we're going to know by tomorrow, obviously, because Peel play Saturday and Freo tomorrow. So, yeah, Cooper Simpson possibly, but they're in pretty good shape. Matt Tabern had a bit of a back issue at training this week. We know he's had that as a problem for some time now, but Justin Lomu says, no, he's right to go.
We have the Dockers looking to go 3-0. If you asked any fan before the season, would you be happy with that? I think you would be. They haven't started games well, which is a pattern. I put it to Luke Ryan over at Backchat, and he kind of seemed to think they were starting well. They're not, Lukey, trust me. They've been poor again this year.
Yep.
Jumped by North Melbourne, jumped by Brisbane. Yes, there was some ill-disciplined acts in that Brisbane game, but they haven't started well. If this team starts well, we're going to see, I can guarantee the way Dockers are trying to play, if they get in front, they are going to dominate teams. The fact that they're having to chase and then walk over them, if they start 4 or 5 goals in front of this Adelaide side, they will not catch them.
No.
So starting well, we're looking for that one. A nice little stat for you, Skeeter. Jai Amos, who we like his work, he's booted 50 goals after 27 games. What does that rank him on the all-time since 1999, I should say? Quickest to that margin, 50. Where would you have him?
Given the question you've asked, I'm thinking he's probably top 10.
Fifth.
Yeah.
Yes. So he's fifth since 1999 on reaching that margin. He's a gun. Will we see more of Luke Jackson down there, or are you liking his work in the ruck too much?
At the moment, I think it'll.
There's no alternative, is there?
Try and just keep doing what they've done. Riley O'Brien's the opposition tomorrow. And good ruckman. He's absolutely got a big body, and they're obviously different. But he collects possessions around the ground, not the athleticism that Luke's got. But yeah, he's going to be a decent opposition.
Adelaide need to win.
Like this season's just about cooked.
Yes.
And we keep saying this, but you're 0-2. History says you don't make the finals. You're 0-3. You can basically start saying, well, you know, mathematically we've got to win, 12 out of 17 games or 18 games, whatever.
So this isn't a easy road trip. Freo, 2 wins on the board. This is a real danger game for Freo. And
yep. If
you want to challenge for finals and you want to challenge for top 4 and you want to win a flag, these are sorts of games where I think Freo is a better side than Adelaide. They're playing at home. They've got their confidence up. They need to beat Adelaide by 6 goals. I don't know if that happens in this game.
I'd take 6 points if I was just...
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you're right. Just to be able to get... Because Adelaide are a team... I actually expected them to buy them in the top 8.
I don't think I did.
Of course not.
who are you picking?
I'm picking Fremantle. Their home form and what we saw... Yeah, we've seen 3 quarters of good footy from them.
Yes.
In their opening 2 games. If they can just, you know, they may well still win the game if they play 3 quarters tomorrow.
They've got to start well.
You've got to try and put some runs on the board early.
Sunday, 10 a.m. Wake up early. Is that correct?
Yeah, 10 a.m. Yep, I'm doing
West Coast v. Bulldogs, 10 a.m.
Yeah. On air at 9:50 a.m.
So, I mean, just so you know, so that's a 1 p.m. game over in Melbourne. Like, players will need to be... There's usually a 6-hour block you need to wake up beforehand. Yeah. So what's that? So that's 7 a.m. they're up?
Yeah,
4 a.m. Perth time.
Yeah.
I reckon that's
Lee Spur made a big statement about that last week on radio. And was
he wrong?
I don't know if he was wrong, actually. He was adamant that WA teams shouldn't be getting...
Early game.
That, well, last week it was the Dockers, 1:45?
Yes.
This time it's 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, you know better than I whether
it's not easy.
That's an excuse or whether
it's
legitimate.
Just think about yourself. If you went over for work or whatever, it takes you a few days to adapt to what the time is.
At least one day, yeah.
So the Dockers run on Docker time
when they
go away. So that means they set their alarms for 4 a.m. They run on Docker time.
Yeah.
So I find that quite strange. But anyway, West Coast Bulldogs. The Bulldogs... they beat Gold Coast at Ballarat. I didn't find it that impressive, as I said about Gold Coast. I'm not picking them again until they win. The West Coast Eagles, they have most of the preseason used the game against the Bulldogs last year, where they beat them in this corresponding fixture. They've used that game as this is how we want to play. We want to be a contested side, high-pressure side, direct ball movers. They have played multiple occasions when they signify their ball use, when they signify their defense, when they signify their pressure, they use this game. Can West Coast win?
No, I can't. I can't make a case for them, Scully. They've been beaten by 65 points and 50 points, and you try to look for positives. They've still been beaten by the best part of 10 goals both times. So I still think the Bulldogs midfield, Bonta, like, I'm going to put that down as just a mulligan for what Bulldogs did last year at the end of the season. And credit to West Coast winning the game. Harry Barnett, will he continue in the ruck? Oh, I don't know whether
Tim English.
I'm not sure. That's like putting him to the slaughter. So I'm concerned about the Eagles in that front. I thought Brady Hoff did a pretty good job on
brilliant job.
Toby Green.
Did two shots on goal.
And now I think Cody Waitman could be his kick six, by
he
the way.
Like he was going to kick 20.
Yeah, so Brody's, I think, one of the players, young players, you can hold out and say yes, thumbs up.
The back line played pretty well for
back,
us.
Back line was good. Elliot Yeo, terrific. Does Ryan Merrick come in as a starting player as opposed to a sub?
Does Jack Darling get dropped?
Or start as a sub?
You can't start. Either drop him or don't play him. Well, there's no point in having Jack Darling as your substitute, in my opinion.
Okay.
Have a runner, have a gunner. There's no point in starting a proper key forward. I would say Ryan Marrick's more of an in-between sort of guy, a bit more mobile than Jack is these days.
Well, I think Jack will start then. I think he'll play.
I think he plays too.
Yeah.
And I think he should. I don't think he should be dropped.
No, I always had this argument with Glenn Jakovich, and look, his form hasn't been good, let's be honest. But I said to him, who is the legitimate replacement? And unfortunately, that's where the Eagles are stuck at the moment. They don't have someone. Oh, Jack Williams is the player, I'm hoping. And I think he'd be better than Ryan Marrick myself. I think he's got some...
Well, he's a lot bigger.
Yeah, I think he's got more upside. So he kicked three goals, as you maybe using Campbell Chesser as your example. I think if they can give him...
The waffle. They need to use the waffle to develop their players and give them some
confidence.
And
he's
confidence.
Had injuries.
And so when you come in... You think, I'm going all right here.
You're not rabbit in the headlights.
Other than, you know, Harry Barnett, terrible example, right? It's effectively his first game. What confidence does he have? He would be like, geez, I hope I don't get absolutely slaughtered here. So it's really difficult. But if you played a Harry Barnett in the waffle for 10 weeks and he was best, you know, in their best players 6 weeks in a row, he's like, I can play, I can go here. That we've never seen that. So Western Bulldogs, Jack McRae, a potential in. He had 40-something in the VFL, did he?
I think it was 47.
I mean, he's a ball magnet.
Caleb Daniel was, I think, left out of the side the previous week.
Yes.
And he's a beautiful ball user. He comes back in, things change.
Skeeter, expect a close game. Three of the last four games between these sides at Marvel Stadium have been decided by 7 points or less, with the Eagles winning twice.
Who are you tipping?
I'm just giving you some things to dissect in that brain of yours. The Eagles have won just one of their last 20 trips interstate.
That was against the Bulldogs.
That being a 7-point win over the Western Bulldogs in round 23 last year. The Bulldogs took 28 intercept marks last week against Gold Coast, a new club record. And we saw Sam Taylor almost beat the all-time record against West Coast. I think that's going to be a big issue. And the Bulldogs win by 10 goals.
Yeah, I can't see a score being kicked by the Eagles, unfortunately. And that's going to be their issue in the short term, long term, maybe with Oscar Allen sideline.
Brisbane v Collingwood at the Gabba, Skeeter, tonight. Going to be a cracker. We thought before the season started this is going to be a cracker because of the grand final replay. And both sides are 2-0 and 3-0, and it's a ball buster. Mate, lose this, definitely can't win the flag.
Yeah.
So the loser definitely can't win the premiership. Correct?
Yeah, I don't disagree.
And I think Brisbane win it. I'm going to go off the top of my tip. Brisbane at the Gabba have more to lose than Collingwood. So Collingwood go 0-4 to start the season after winning the flag.
Yep. They get Lachie Neal back from the hamstring. He's been named. They've got a bit taller, the Lions.
Darcy Ford, Jack Payne coming in. Darcy Gardner, Jared Lyons omitted. Lyons for Neal, it's probably fair enough.
Yep, exactly. And for Collingwood, Tom Mitchell's 200th game. And importantly, still sidebottom.
Managed,
dropped, overlooked. Call it what you want. He's not playing. If he was playing good footy,
he wouldn't be managed.
He would be managed. Guys like Jack Crisp, even Scotty Pendlebury, so many Jordan to go. There's so many at Collingwood that are not playing at their potential, at their optimum at the moment. So,
Jordan to go is that one, mate. He is well down on his output. He's grown into a midfielder. Right, he used to be a forward and hopefully kick a few goals and have 8 touches. At his best, which I reckon one of the best games I've ever seen him play was GWS prelim last year. He had 28 to 30, amazing clearances, break and tackle. It was the forward but in the midfield, and he was there for a long time. So they need him to lift, I think, to generate some... I don't know exactly what's letting them down, but it seems to be fundamental skills, which is a mental side of it.
And defensively. I think defensively they've been a lot poorer than they have been for a long time. Nathan Murphy's a big out. And speaking of defenders, got to feel sorry for Tom Duday, who's gone down with a knee.
He was another time. They said he was playing.
He was going to play. So what are we... I think, going back from Dan Mick's day, I reckon we've had 6-7 ACLs
already. Does it feel like there's more?
Feels like there's more. That's just, you know, it's, you know, a ligament that big and you get 12 months. It's a really tough one to swallow for him and the footy club. And
I felt sick when I read that.
Yeah. Sometimes footy clubs, and this is, Brisbane was still in the window a lot, you know, irrespective of what you think at the start of the year. Losing Coleman long term, now losing Duday. You just wonder whether sometimes clubs, you need luck in running, and Brisbane at this point
have had none. Who wins?
Brisbane.
Right.
Yeah, I think they win at home. Put it this way, they're beaten by Carlton up there in a freakish result.
Mate, 0-4 Collingwood will be. You and I have both picked Brisbane. 0-4.
That'd be terrific. I mean, they've strutted around all summer. And look, they've been great. And can I say this? In defence of Craig McRae, he was potted by Carolyn Wilson for not giving enough credit to St Kilda. I mean, he was asked a question about his club. And look, maybe he didn't give the Saints enough credit, but seriously,
yeah, who cares about that?
What a
load
of crap!
But I will say, it's very funny how if Craig McRae does that and they've won right last year or the year before, when what great messaging coming out of Craig McRae? He's looking at himself internally, and I think there's a lot of fluff that comes out pretty regularly from Collingwood, and when they're winning, what great culture they have, what great messaging they have in the media. Losing and it's fluff. Losing and you look silly. And I just think that's quite interesting, Skeet. Anyway, we're both picking Brisbane. Essendon v St Kilda. Collingwood fans hate me, so I'm just move on. Essendon v St Kilda, Marvel, Saturday evening. This one, Essendon has won 4 of the last 5 games against the Saints by 54 points per game.
Essendon has
won 4 of the last 5 games against the Saints by an average of 54 points per game.
Yeah, well, they didn't beat them last year at the MCG. I'm sure it was the St Kilda 150th celebrations or whatever.
So 4 before that.
Must have been, yeah. So, we'll put it this way. They'll be scoring a lot of points, Essendon, but they also might be conceding a few. That's
St Kilda looked more attacking than people think they are.
Yeah.
And I think
Max King's absence is not great.
Did not think about that.
Yeah, so that doesn't help their cause. At Marvel, certainly suits St Kilda more, but also probably up Essendon's sort of style of play as well.
The Saints have one of the bigger injury lists at the moment. And last week they lose Max King, Liam Henry. He's out for a significant amount of time, who was very good, one of their best players. Mm. And Mason Wood, who last year really looked like he embraced that role that Ross Lyon had given him. He's going to be out for a while with concussion. So there's some big injuries.
Oh, like, no
they're
doubt.
Three very, very big injuries for them.
The good thing about Ross Lyon, he's been able to, even last year when they had the similar problem, able to cover. And they play a style generally, you know, and they're quick and I think they're on the same page as the coach, which is important. And I'm still not sure Essendon quite know what they stand for, even though they went a bit of the physical stuff last week. We know they can score, they can't defend. I reckon Ross Lyon will be able to break them down.
Liam Henry was playing, from what I could see, more as a forward than a winger. Lance Collard is on the Saints list that West Coast desperately wanted. You would have seen a bit of his footy last
Colts,
year.
Yep, he
good player.
Made his debut against Geelong.
Correct.
Dropped. Yep.
Good player though.
Yeah, he's going to be
exciting.
His biggest issue, I think, is being able to acclimatise to Melbourne. He's, you know, very much being Indigenous kid who's close to his family, and I think that's, if he can overcome that homesickness. I know it sounds a bit. Bit weak or a bit, you know, not able to.
Oh,
to
guts.
It's a genuine element for some players. Hopefully he can overcome that.
North Melbourne v Carlton.
Well,
Friday,
who are you tipping, by the way?
Mate, you've just... what did I say? No, Essendon's no good until they're good, so St Kilda.
Yep, Saints for me.
But I think Essendon...
They get a chance. They get a big chance
here. I think they may win with no Max King, but St Kilda. And if Essendon win, then I can freely pick them again. I miss North Melbourne Carlton Friday night. Skater.
Ooh, the Good Friday Appeal game.
This is before the Freo game, of course.
Yep.
Looking forward to this one.
Are you?
Are you getting the day off on Friday?
I'm doing radio in the morning, and then I'm calling the game Fremantle versus Carlton.
So it's a no.
No.
So you'll be working.
Fremantle versus Adelaide, should I say.
Good Friday. This one's a great one. It's for a great cause as well, the Good Friday Appeal. Is that right? Good Friday
Appeal. It's a bit like telethon over there in Melbourne.
They wear the new jumpers. I love this one.
Yep.
It's great.
Sick kids.
North Melbourne Carlton. It's an interesting matchup. You know, on paper it says Carlton win this quite easily, but I know North Melbourne are making, one, they're becoming more competitive, just eye test, and two, I think they're desperate to be competitive in this game. There's been talk about this game and why is Kangaroos getting in all that. They want this game to be a good game. They don't want to get wiped off the park like they have been in past years. I think Alistair Clarkson is the sort of coach, he's a motivator. I think he'll be using elements of this game to get them up and about.
Yeah, true. But they led by 32 against the Dockers and got beaten by 5 goals.
They died off, didn't they?
They fell off a cliff.
Their good was very good.
Yeah, absolutely. Which the problem is going to be with that youth being able to sustain that. So it'd be fascinating to see how Carlton, who've had an extended time off, whether that's a benefit, whether it's not. Geelong struggled with the bye previously.
But Jacob Wiedering returning for Carlton.
That's big. That's big. Sam Walsh must be getting pretty close as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. Wasn't he running around like an old man, though?
That's what I heard.
Mark Redding's running around.
Blues have got too much firepower, Scully. I would have thought with the big H and Charlie doing their best work.
Well, I might roll that out on TV. So how's your movies going? Well, he's running like Mark Redding's does, strides up and down Malaga Park. That's what he looks like. It's pretty poor, I would have thought.
You know, save that for this show, I would have thought. Just go.
Okay, thank you very much. Caleb March. It's definitely March not Bank. Caleb. It's Caleb. Caleb Marchbank.
Yep.
He may return. I'm picking Carlton, but I like what I see from the Kangaroos' best footy. I think their best footy looked a lot better than the best from West Coast, for instance, and Hawthorn. I think at their best, they were all over Freo, mate. Like, they were all over them. Midfield looked amazing.
Yeah, that's
so that why. Tells me in 2 or 3 years, like, look out.
Yeah, no, I did say June 8th, West Coast best chance of a victory, and you just said, they're not beating North Melbourne. So anyway, I'll have to try and find a date. But I'm tipping Carlton to win this game, despite what you say about North. I still think they've just got too much class and win by 5+ goals.
Port Adelaide v Melbourne Adelaide Oval. This is a tight one, I think. Both sides going well. Port Adelaide will be back at a big stint at home with Gather Round coming up as well. They've lost 3 of its last 4 games against Melbourne, having a 4-point win in its most recent game. So the 3 before that, they lost. Stephen May is out, broken ribs and a cracked vertebrae. Jack Lever, 50-50. He was... Mate, I don't know.
If he plays. He won't play.
I don't think he plays.
He's not playing. When they're saying he's still in the mix, they're not in the mix.
And Horn Francis will miss because he has a hamstring injury, so I'm not sure why that's reported. He did his hamstring, so we'll see him in 3 weeks. How's this game go? Melbourne may come into it in a little bit better form. Port Adelaide sort of gutsed out a win against Richmond last week. I would be at home, Port Adelaide, but Melbourne's certainly challenging.
Yeah, Melbourne's midfield's going to be pretty good. Clayton Oliver's had a scan done during the week, I think, a hand injury, so he's...
That was quite funny, he's, the timing of that.
Yeah, the timing was not great.
Right. Off yes, the top of the show.
Yeah, but bottom line is their mids, I think, can go toe-to-toe with them, but with May out of the side, I think Port Adelaide... You and I are both on the same page here. I think they can get away to a really good start, first 6 weeks of the year, win most of those matches, set them up for top four, top two... tipping Port here to win. Travis Spokes, 350th last week. Maybe there's a bit of a slight come off that with the emotions, but I still think they're probably going to be good enough at home to win this game.
Port Adelaide win. Roseanne Butters to run an absolute muck against the Melbourne midfield. Richmond v Sydney at the MCG Sunday. Sydney's won just one of their last 6 matches at the MCG, Skeeter, so not their favourite place to play. They lost to Richmond last year, round 17, by 13 points, and go on to have a pretty good back end of the year. So is Richmond and the MCG a bit of a hoodoo ground for the Sydney Swans?
I don't think this weekend it is, no. I think Richmond are bottom four side, I think. They'll win some matches at the G. They'll be competitive. They're still short on personnel. Sydney, you mentioned only once. Well, they did win against Collingwood a couple of weeks ago. I think this team of Sydney, they'll have their hiccups, but they're humming. They're really playing good footy, and I can't see why that wouldn't change on the weekend.
Taylor Adams is supposedly doing a fitness test this week. Maybe not even a fitness test. I think he's built back to full fitness, and he may be available for selection.
He's obviously going back by the VFL, wouldn't he?
Oh, I don't know. They've recruited him. They haven't recruited him to the club.
He's missed a fair bit of footy, no?
Yeah, but where does he stand in that? Luke, I'm thinking about my teammates, Luke Shuey, Josh Kennedy, Nick Nananui, great midfielders, Elliot Yeo. They're not going back through the VF. They're playing them. Does he? That's probably the question. Does he come back in? Maybe not, given how well they're going.
Pretty good problem to have, though, isn't it? I mean, not saying he's...
It's not good for him. No, he's picked to go there.
But if you're Sydney, it's a great situation to be in, because I'm sure at the start of the season with Parker, Mills and Adams sidelined, you're thinking, oh, can we cover?
That's probably close to their starting midfielder in their minds. Mm. And then they've got Warner and Goulden and the Lizards running through there at times, and Heaney's played a lot more in there. So
they're in a really good spot at the moment. That can change pretty quickly with an injury. But, yeah, nice issue for them to have. And Taylor Adams, I don't think he'll play this weekend. But if he's fit, that's a nice one to bring in.
We both pick Sydney.
Yep.
Geelong v Hawthorn, MCG, Easter Monday. This has had some of the great clashes of all time over the last couple of decades. So if you can think about some of these big games, especially during that period where they were really competitive against each other. I know for a fact Sam Mitchell, given he played in a lot of those games, hates Geelong, right? And he hates losing to them. And that matters for coaches. It might not seem like it does, but Adam Simpson, through North Melbourne years, massive Essendon rivalry. And you could see him go to another level when West Coast played Essendon. And it was strange for me because Essendon's just been irrelevant. You know, I don't really love or hate them. But it matters. I think this is going to be a lot closer than people think it's going to be. Geelong have started the season pretty well. People thought they were, you know, including you and me, probably see you later. Hawthorn, pressure again. This has happened the last couple of years, actually, with Hawthorn. They haven't started well, and the pressure goes, why have you rebuilt the list? Are players buying in? I'm all in with Hawthorn, and whether they've started well or not, I don't really care. I think they'll be just fine.
I'd like to be a bit more competitive than they were against Melbourne. That was beaten by 55.
That was poor.
What I will say is this time last year, I think Geelong was 0-3.
Yes.
And very much similar to what Collingwood's experiencing at the moment. They were down, I reckon, by about 5 goals at halftime against the Hawks on Easter Monday. Got up and won with a leg in the air.
That's right.
But, you know, that's 12 months ago. Yeah, I think you're right about Sam Mitchell, but also I think there's a bloke who's going to play his 350th on Monday or 300th?
I don't know.
Tom Hawkins.
Oh, 350.
Yeah, pretty sure it's
350,
yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, so look, mate, Selwood, an icon of the club.
Geelong's.
Tom Hawkins.
Geelong's a milestone club.
They did it last week for Tommy Stewart. Mm. Oh, I just think he gets the love of his players, the club.
Skater.
Forget the form line.
I was about to pick Hawthorn, but I can't now. I can't.
No, it's Tom Hawkins. I just think it's one player that is so revered at the footy club that I don't think it's a... I think it's just a massive emotional pull for the players.
Lloyd Meek was best on ground in the VFL last week. A bit of a forgotten man. Yeah, he is. From Freo, moved over, looking for that number one ruck spot, and has been in and out of form. So
I'll tell you what, I remember the Eagles were having a sniff around Lloyd Meek and couldn't get him. And wouldn't they love to just say, come here, big boy.
Probably should have. But they went and got their man in Matty Flynn. So, Skeeter, that's us for the games. Who are you picking?
I think Geelong will win comfortably given the milestone I mentioned.
Will Schofield, Mark Redding, Shuttle Footycast. Skeeter, last couple here. A bit of user interaction. Thank you very much for your emails, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to send one in, footycast@backchatstudios.com.au. Hey, Scoey and Skeeter, emailing to get your thoughts on rivalries with clubs being underwhelming nowadays. Right, I remember growing up when it was derby time, was anyone that was Freo, you absolutely hated them, and I assume it would be the case with Victorian sides like the Hawks and Essendon back in the day. I enjoyed what GWS did with the Collingwood game, Dave Matthews and co. Putting that one up. Would you like to see more clubs who have that traditional rivalry pump it up and bring back some of that angst that was once surrounded by it? Thanks, boys. Enjoy the show and look forward to the MCG nude lap later on, Scoey. I'll do it with you, from Brendan Burks.
I agree with him. And you know what?
You're looking forward to the nude lap?
No, not so much that. But you know what? It relies very much on Dave Matthews, whether it's Craig Kelly at Collingwood. You need your power brokers also to bot, because the players are never going to really mouth off too much because of what's, you know, around.
But do we want to see that more?
I want to see that.
If the players hate the other side.
Well, let's go back 5-6 days ago. Tom Papley.
Yeah.
What he's done now has ignited something between Sydney and Essendon, which is terrific. So, yes, in essence, we love it. We used to have it in the old waffle days when Mal Brown and John Todd used to go at each other.
West Coast and Freo have stopped doing it.
Yeah.
It's just completely nothing. And you can say it's competitiveness, but not last year, but the year before. Like, there was proper physicality in it, but we heard nothing in the leader.
No. And, you know, what you also need two of your leaders, and I won't say necessarily your coaches helps, But if you're the president of, say, West Coast, Schofield, and I'm president of Fremantle, Scully, let's get something happening here, you know, a bit of theatre. You know,
come out early in the week.
Yeah, just throw a few verbal punches. Create a bit of, and the fans buy into that.
Fremantle, for instance, if you were a Fremantle before the Derby in a couple of weeks, come out and say, it's official, we've passed West Coast in terms of, you know, we've been the little...
We're the team of the future. Yeah. We're heading in the right direction.
Like, see you later, rearview mirror, we don't have to worry about, you know, that would ruffle some feathers down at Eagles. But how brilliant would that be? Mate, it's close to true, to be honest.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's all banned. You know, it's discussion point. Oh, that toss of Reading's talking about Fremantle or Schofield. I think we need that, and I love it.
Yep.
I just think they are so frightened, club officials, players, etc., by and large, to buy into that because of, you know what happens? The media wants it, and then...
The apple cart.
They'll shoot you down as soon as you have egg on your face.
Graham Sherbet on YouTube. Kim Seating in your comments over at YouTube if you are watching this one along. Should the Eagles go after a couple of 22-year-old and 100-game mids, Liam Baker from Richmond and Chad Warner from Sydney?
Chad Warner, definitely.
Yes.
Liam Baker...
I'll tell you one thing. If they could get him at a decent price, you'd take Liam Baker, who's a good player.
Oh, no.
West Coast don't have enough of those.
100%. But it's, you know, the price you pay. That's my question.
Well, you're thinking, yeah, Chad Warner cheaply?
No, that's true. No, you're not going to get them cheaply. That's why they're good players. You know what? And I think, I'm sure if I discussed it with you, but imagine, just dreaming Eagle supporters, imagine being able to say to Logan McDonald and Sam Taylor, come West.
Yes.
And maybe Tim English. I know it's a dream scenario, but...
We're not Tasmania. No, this isn't the Tasmanian team where you just get to pluck
Sam
them from
Taylor out. Down back,
yep.
Logan McDonald forward, and Tim, or Tim English.
Yep. Chad Warner underneath him. We get see if Buddy wants to play, come back and play a few games, put him down at full forward.
I told you I was dreaming from a West Coast perspective.
I like it.
But, it doesn't take... It takes a lot with those three players. But
yes.
You put those three players in
and
watch the young kids come through, life becomes a whole lot better for a West Coast fan.
Last one, we did put up on Instagram, Skate, you saying the first win will be June 8th. We said mark this date in your calendar.
Can I throw to you when you think the first win might be, William?
I can't see them beating anyone right now. Yeah.
So you see no hope, a bit like George Costanza in Cypher. There's nothing, no future prospect of any victory in the horizon.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I'm just getting my areas ready for a new lap around MCG. The dredger will be out in form. Don't worry about that. I think this is from someone on Instagram. I think the only chance, this is on the back of your comments, I think the only chance we have is North and Richmond.
Right? North is what I mentioned. Yeah.
If Flynn is fit and Nank is injured, Hawthorn's ruck duo will mean that Newcomb and Day will just chop us up. Get Hall, Jinby, Hewitt, and Reed into the middle ASAP. The quicker they get to 100 games, the quicker we will climb. I agree with most of that, to be honest.
Yeah.
Although I would like to see some of these kids develop in the waffle. That's all I've got. That's all I've got time for, Skeeter. You've been in here for about 4 hours to get this one done. We appreciate it, Skeeter. And I was taking the piss. You were here on time. Code word, Sparky.
Yes, Sparky.
Two tickets to the Dockers. Backchatstudios.com.au. Email, code word, two tickets. Give us something to finish on, Skate.
Happy Easter. Have a great time. If you're driving, be careful. Spend time with your loved ones. Watch the footy. We'll be back on Easter Monday.
That's right.
For a big edition of the Shelter Footy Cast.
You don't get double overtime on Easter Monday, by the way, Skate.
I'm lucky to get an invoice paid full stop.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.